Today, we're going to read from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant,
yes,
though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift up to you today your living word. Just anoint it as James shares it with us. We pray that you would just speak to our hearts and minds. We'd be open to you, Lord, today. We know this is one of the greatest gifts you've given us, Lord, is your living word.
Amen.
We pray that today we would just listen and learn, and we could use that training to go out and reach others for Christ, Lord, and make a difference in the world. Show us how to be a difference maker in today's world, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, very much. Amen. Well, it's my heart today, I want to help you. I want to help myself. And the only way that we can truly be helped as human beings with the help of God is if we're helped in our hearts. The one great concern that God has about you is what is in your heart. The Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The Bible says that 24/7, that God is constantly pondering the hearts of man. Why would he do that? Why would God consistently, every day, 24/7, be looking into your heart? Because that is the real you. That's who you really are, is who you are in your heart. And if your heart's not serious, you're not serious. If your heart's not in tune, you're not in tune. If your heart's not right with God, then you're not right with God. And it won't make any difference how hard you try or how much effort you put forth or how much you do of anything if your heart is not right with God. And so what we need to understand is what the new covenant that God has given us and what he does for us. It's a wonderful thing. He says the old covenant, that I gave back in the olden days, the olden time, he said you broke it, and you broke it again and again. How many of you know that you've broken the covenant of God again and again? It just seems that our own natural strength, we are unable to do it, and our heart wants to get away from it and not be captivated by God's law and not be held in. So we want to do what we want to. How many of you ever, when you was a kid, could not wait to get out from under your parents' authority because you wanted to do what you wanted to do? Can I see your hand? Okay, just one or two liars in the bus, not many, but a few. Well, all of us did that. All of us resist the law of God, the submission to the God of this universe. He said, I'm going to do something for you in the latter days, because he said, I gave you a covenant, but you always broke it. The old covenant was a conditional covenant. You know what that means, don't you? I love you if you'll love me. I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch my back. And if you ain't scratching my back, I ain't going to scratch your back. You know, it's conditional. You do for me, I'll do something for you. God said in the Old Testament, if you will obey my commandments, you'll follow me, then I will cause all these blessings to come upon you. But if you don't, there's a curse that comes upon you. And a lot of things happened. It was conditional. But he says, you know, in that new covenant I'm going to make, I'm going to change something, do something revolutionary that you never thought about. He said, in the covenant that I will make with you in those days, I am going to write my laws where? On your heart. In that day that God first gave man the law, do you remember where it was? And it was at Sinai. And God gathered up all the people, and they all came down there. They heard his voice. booming out on the mountain of Sinai. It smoked with a great smoke, and it belched, and there were thunders. And if one animal even crossed the line that they had put around that mountain, it was killed. God was on that mountain, and when he spoke, and the people heard him speak the Ten Commandments that he had given them, what was their response to it? They said, "We don't want to hear it anymore." They said, from now on, they told Moses, "You talk with God, because we are so fearful." And even Moses himself, the Bible said, did quiver and quake because of that experience with God. And so God spoke the law of God out, and the people said, "We don't even want to hear it anymore. It's too fearful for us to hear the voice of God." Have you ever heard it thunder so much that the thunder itself scared you? It gripped your heart with fear because it roared. Well, that's the way their voices or their ears heard the voices of God. And then later, God called Moses up on the mountain, and he literally wrote those same laws that he spoke, and he carved them into stone with his finger, the Bible says. What a sight that must have been as Moses stood on that mountain and saw God, however he was able to see that. And God is love, God is energy, God is creativity, God is a person. But he is able to do things practically speaking. He is the great personality of the universe. And God somehow, the Bible says, with his finger, wrote on those stones. And the word of God that he spoke out to them that they didn't want to hear, he decided to write it out on stones so they can see it. And they carried those stones, though they were broken. Because you remember when Moses came down, they had already turned back to sin because what was in their heart was just coming out. What they wanted to do was just coming out. And I'm not even going to tell you what they were doing when Moses came back with the commandments. But they were sinning against God and sinning against their families and sinning, because that's what was in their hearts. And God broke those, or Moses broke those commandments that were written with the very finger of God, and they carried those commandments all the days of their wilderness journey in that ark. Those broken commandments, tablets, were being carried there. How many of you would like to have seen them? We have a replica of the Ten Commandments at home on some sort of plastic or something. And when I look at them, my heart goes out and thinks about the time when God literally wrote them. But what God was saying is this, is he wants these laws not merely spoken out to ears that might hear and might not pay much attention, but God wants his laws written on your very heart. And God does that to the person who comes to him. So I'm wanting to, and I'm going to have to preach about this a lot and study a lot about it, because quite frankly, it's a difficult thing to get your mind wrapped around when you are able to truly function the way that God intended you to function with your heart, with your mind, with your mouth, and with your behavior, with your practices, with your habits, so that you become a person who is truly a heart person led by your heart, believing in your heart what you need to believe. And a lot of us don't understand or believe with our heart many things that we need to believe. Otherwise, we would see tremendous changes in our lives. When a person begins to believe God's truth in their heart and begins to think God's truth in their mind and begins to speak that is based upon the truth of God that's in their mind and that's now in their heart, then their behavior is drastically different and it changes. There's no lasting change to anyone that change is not from their heart outward. So the Bible says that when we're saved, that God writes his law inside our heart. Now, I've got a number of things I mentioned here in this sermon that I want you to understand as we talk about how to cooperate with God and let him continue the writing upon our heart that he began when we got saved. God puts his law in the heart of a person who is saved. That's why they change drastically. If you have not changed and you still want to do the very same things that you wanted to do before you, quote, got saved or joined the church, you're not saved yet. because your desires change drastically. It doesn't mean you become perfect, but upon your heart, you have new desires. God has written them there with His own pen, with His own ink. He has put those in your heart. And if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature, and he has a new heart. He has a new desire. And we cannot disciple someone who doesn't have a heart for discipleship. There was a couple that we knew years ago, and the wife came into my office once, and she was irate, and she said, you have not discipled my husband, and I am angry about it. And I said, well, your husband comes to church about once every other month. It's kind of hard to disciple him. And I said, you yourself come about once a month. And I've not only not discipled him, I ain't discipled you yet either. Or you wouldn't be in here in this kind of a condition. And so I tried to share with her that her difficulty and his difficulty was a difficulty inside their hearts. And they really needed to ask themselves, do I really know God in my heart? I want to ask you a question. How much do you know about what you really know in your heart? Because a lot of us say things out of our mouth that probably didn't come from our heart, because if they did, we would have a congruency between what we feel in our hearts, what we think with our mind, and what we speak with our mouths, and what we do with our actions. That's when a person has been saved, their happiness, their joy, their effectiveness comes about from having all this lined up in the right relationship. How many of you are real excited about life and you're just full of joy and you're full of anticipation about your future, even though you don't know what it is? And I can look out at these dark days that we're all living in, but I don't have a bit of fear about those. Now, I'm not saying I might have some anxiety if I saw parachutes coming out of the sky and airplanes going over. I'm sure I would have some fears that I would have to deal with. But it's possible for us, no matter if we're thrown into the fiery furnace that's been heated up 7 times 7, what it normally is, to walk through that without any fear, because our hearts are absolutely right with God. And so here's what happens when they're not. When our hearts are not right with God, or when we're not lined up with what God has written in our hearts, there is an incongruency in our life. And I mean by that, there's a disharmony. How many of you have ever felt like something was wrong, but you didn't know what it was? Maybe in your mind, you knew you didn't have peace in your heart. You knew something was wrong, but you didn't know what it was. And the reason is because you don't have a renewed mind so you can know what's in your heart as well as we need to know. Part of having a renewed mind is this. Whatever God has written in your heart, your mind has a full, firm grasp on it. Your mental thinking has lined up with what God has written in your heart. Now, I know this is going to be a little bit difficult to talk about, so if you need to ask a question, I don't mind trying to answer it. I don't know if I can, but I'll do my best, because when a person is saved, suddenly their heart, God writes things on their heart. Their mind may not understand everything that's written on their heart yet, but you begin to discover it. The person who can help you the most in preaching, teaching, explaining things is the person who explains things to your mind that you agree with in your heart. How many of you, when you're hearing a message or you're hearing someone speak and they hit something in the core of your heart that your mind hasn't fully understood yet, but now it understands, and you say, amen. See, your mind has just got renewed to a truth that was already in your heart. The person who helps you the most as an author is the one, when you read their books and they reveal the thoughts and the intents of your own heart as they read through this, what has been written by the Spirit of God, actually. That's why the Bible says, when unbelievers come into a service, that we need to speak clearly and accurately and preach and prophesy so they can understand, so that the unlearned can say amen and listen to this, and the thoughts of their hearts are revealed to them. You see, what happens a lot of times is we don't have our thoughts revealed to us. We have deceived ourselves so much in our life, And then when we come and are in an experience like we're having today where we're worshiping God and singing these wonderful songs. And by the way, Mark, I want to say thanks for the old rugged cross this morning. Can't tell you how much I enjoyed that. And I haven't heard it sung in our church, I don't know when, and a lot of churches wouldn't even recognize the lyrics or the tune. But praise God that to the cross, what it did for us, what it accomplished for us when He died on it, that ought to forever change our life, and our mind has to understand what God has written in our hearts. And so that's what the renewing of the mind is all about, being renewed to the truth about God so we have a mental understanding of it now. We're able to think the way God would want us to think. How many of you know, man, I don't think the way that God wants me to think. I'm thinking negatively. I'm thinking depressive thoughts. I'm thinking how unworthy I am. I'm thinking about all these things all the time. See, that's not a heart. That's not a renewed mind. That's realizing you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're someone that God has blessed, someone that God has saved, someone that God has changed. And our minds need to get a hold of that. So as we talk about a renewed mind, we have to understand that we have to have a new heart. That happens when we're saved. Stress, for a long time, medical people have understood that stress is the originator of so many diseases and sicknesses. It's really unbelievable how much is caused, not by not good nutrition, we do need that, not enough exercise, we do need that, but what we need worse than all of those is to be able to think the way that we should think and have the peace of God that passes understanding in our hearts and lives. That allows us to be healthy mentally, emotionally, and even physically. And so the Bible says when a person finds the Word of God, they find the truth of God, it gives life to their physical bodies. It says that in the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that if the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead is dwelling and living in you, it will give life to your mortal body. This body is mortal. It's going to die. But God says that the Spirit of God inside of us, when we are functional the way we should be with God, our heart is right with God, our thinking is right with God, our speech is right with God, our activities are right with God, it gives life to our mortal body that's dying even now. But it strengthens us, makes us live longer, makes us be healthier, it gives us joy, and so many different benefits come from you starting working with your heart and with your mind and getting things worked out right. Stress comes when we don't have all those things lined up in our life. If your heart is right, if your speech is right, your activity is right, your thoughts are right, I guarantee you, you can go through anything. And you can go through anything as a conqueror and a champion with God. Now, only God is able to write on our hearts. I've been studying for about 6 months on and off of this subject, and you know I've preached about it for about a year or so, about writing on the tablets of your heart. And I've come to I changed my mind a good bit about what I think I'm understanding about this. Because in the Old Testament it says, for example, and I'm going to paraphrase from the book of Proverbs chapter 3, it's also in chapter 6, but he says this, he says, my son, pay attention to my law. And he says, bind them around your fingers. Bind them around your forehead. Put them up on your doorpost when you go out. And he says, at noon, talk about this with your children. And he says, write them on the tablet of your heart. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, here's some good help. And this is. If you will pay this kind of attention to God's Word in your life, that you put it in front of you as often as you can, that you call to remembrance it, then sooner or later, it's going to get down here where it does great good in your life. And you will begin to live in a very natural way doing the things of God. For example, it's not hard for me to avoid adultery, for example, because it's written in my heart that I should never do that to my wife. That's in my heart. That keeps me. Because it's not something I just know in my head that it'd be wrong. It's something that's written on my heart, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to disappoint her or disappoint God. And I do it naturally because it's written on my heart. So all about the commandments of God and everything He wants us to do. When they are on our heart, we do them naturally as we live. We don't struggle back and forth about it. We do them naturally because the Spirit of God is just has worked in our heart and has written that in our hearts by the Spirit of God, not with a finger that carved into a stone words, but somehow the operation of God in the Spirit that has literally written on our hearts inside of us these laws that we're not going to disobey. And so He says, I'm going to make this covenant with you. One, I'm going to fulfill all the things you could not fulfill. I'm going to do everything just the way it should have been done, and it's not going to be conditional on you doing them. I'm going to do them for you, and you're going to trust me and believe in me, and I'm going to pour my blessings out upon you, and then I'm going to write on your own heart the laws of God so that you'll keep them yourself, and they will also be on your mind. We're living in a time now when we need to have our minds renewed by the Holy Spirit of God to the things that God has written upon our hearts. And when the world invades your life or you give yourself to worldly pursuits and you let yourself get in certain places you ought not to be and you put yourself there, your mind is going to overrule your heart and you're going to find yourself doing the things that you ought not do that are contrary to your heart, and it's going to so stress you out, you're going to get sick. You're going to have all kinds of difficulties in your life because you're not living from your heart to your mind to your speaking to your activities, and you're living an incongruent life before God. And there can be no blessings that you can enjoy in that situation. You are unfit to be able to enjoy the blessings of God. And who did that to you? God didn't do that to you. You did that to yourself. How many of you are really satisfied with the way you think about life and about everything? How many of you would like to be so free from the tormenting thoughts that you often have about yourself, about your future, about your destiny? You can do this by letting God, opening up your heart to God. And I'm not following my sermon outline right down the line, so don't worry about this. You can study over this. I'm pretty much going to say everything that's on here. I'm just not going to say it in line with what my outline is, but it's a good logical presentation of what I'm trying to share with you. But I want to share from your heart, so I'm trying to look into your eyes and trying to share with you so that you'll do some things that will help to open up your heart. Now, I want to read this passage, and I want you to notice that something divine can happen today if you will let it. Some of you have come in with a stony heart. The Bible calls a stony heart. And what that means is that you've closed out God's voice. And you could come in and sit there and have a poker face, but never open your heart up to God. How many of you have done that? Can I just see your hands? I've done it a number of times. I used to couldn't wait until the preacher would get through so I could get out of the church because I didn't want to listen to some things. Tom, has that ever happened to you? Yeah. So I want to ask you to do something. Don't let that happen to you. There is not another person in this world that can prevent that from happening but you. And I can say something, or you might not like my looks. You might like someone with hair. I don't know. But don't pay attention to that, because with a body like this, who needs hair, right, Brother Joe? That's a private joke among the congregation here, you know. If you're visiting with us, let somebody explain that later. But, you know, see, the Bible says, don't judge by outward appearance. Judge by inward, by the heart. And you're going to have to open your heart up to God. But listen to this, how that God today can reach into your heart and write something in your heart, because He's the only one that can. I can memorize the Scripture. I can put them in front of me. I can be obedient to everything that God said, but I can still go without anything written in my heart. And I've got to do something in my heart toward God so that He can write something in my heart. He's written a whole bunch in my heart. He's done, these 40 years I've been serving Him, He's written a whole bunch of things down there. My mind is recovering a lot of the things that He's written, and He wants to write some more. Just to try to illustrate where I'm coming from before I read this passage. There are people that God has written their lives and their names and their life in my heart. I would never get it out because they're in my heart. There are some people I know that they haven't been written there in my heart. I haven't connected with them in the heart the way I've connected with other people in the heart. Because the Bible says, deep calleth to deep. And what that means is that we have to make heart connections if we want to have a heart relationship. And if we want to be superficial in our lives and just stay on a superficial basis, you never get to know that person. Some people have lived with their spouse and didn't even know them all those years because they never opened their hearts up to each other. Am I talking to somebody here that, are you listening to what I'm saying, that you've got to do something in your own heart that you're the only one that can do to know anybody else in their hearts? And so the Apostle Paul says to this church and other places, he says, you are in my heart for eternity. And I can think back over my life over the years that I have people in my heart I know in heaven. I'm going to live around them. I'm going to live right down the road from them. Where I'm going to be close to them because they're in my heart. And God, I'm sure, is going to have us connected in eternity that way too. And we need to learn to know our children's hearts. Sometimes our children suffer from broken hearts because we haven't really been able to know them. And a lot of times we want to be known in our hearts. A person who is so lonely can have 1,000 friends and not have one of them know them in their heart. David and Jonathan had this heart connection that the Bible says is so deep, you know. They loved each other from their hearts. They had this bond and this connection. And we, so many, had this in our fellowship, in our church. Some of us have been together for a really long time. But you can have that heart bond in a short time when the heart calls to the heart. We get rid of all of the superficial stuff, get rid of all this stuff that doesn't make any difference, and it's just heart to heart. That's what we need to have. Listen to what Paul writes to this church at Corinth. His situation is this. They are in his heart, but he is not in their heart. That's the background from which he's talking about. And how many of you have had that kind of relationship before? That's painful. When you love someone from the heart, when you would die for someone, when you'd lay down your life for them and they don't respond that way back to you, that's painful. That's hurtful. And God wants us to have the kind of relationships with one another that we would literally lay down our lives for each other. Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this. Can you finish this? That he would lay down his life for his friend. And see, that's the kind of relationship that makes you feel safe when you're with that person. Makes you feel loved and appreciated. Makes you know they would never hurt you because you know that in their hearts. We've got to have this in our lives if we live a good life. If we live the kind of life that will be fruitful, we've got to have this with our husbands and wives. And that's why, Carol, I really want all of us to go through this marriage workshop together and sharing from our hearts and teaching from the Bible how we can have the heart-to-heart connection with each other all the days of our life. But listen to these words from the Apostle Paul to the church, and this should be in your outline. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3:3. He says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle or a letter of Christ. Look at this, what he says, ministered by us, but written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone like Moses saw, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of your own heart. So God wants to write by the Holy Spirit of God these truths on your heart, and you have to have a clean heart for God to do that. How many of you know what causes your heart to be unclean? Sin. That just is. Sin has a defiling effect on the heart of a believer. And it has to be cleansed away so God can write on your heart. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins, or If any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? And to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, so the Spirit of the living God, not with ink, but with the Spirit, can write on our heart the things that we need to have that we can't come to understand with our minds. Because what is in your heart is where your true power is. It's what will cause you to be able to do the things you really need to do. Jesus, the Bible says, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our what? Our hearts. And then our minds. And even our physical strength. But we can't love the Lord with our physical strength. And we can't love the Lord with our minds unless we're loving the Lord with our whole heart, with our heart. So we have to get down deep to this area, and you'll be set free when you do. You'll never believe you could be a joyful person as you could be. And you should not be surprised if you suddenly see your body beginning to respond physically to the joy that's coming out of your heart, and healing begin to take place in your life in many wonderful ways. So Paul wrote to this church, and he says to them, you know, look, I know that you haven't accepted me that much. I know you kind of got me at arm's length. But he said, what I have done when I was there with you, I was like the pen. And God's hand took me as the pen. And he wrote, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. He wrote things on your heart. And you were helped by that. And you were encouraged by that. And so he's speaking to them about a heart relationship that he wants with them as a church family. So when we are able to renew our mind, we're able to read what God has written upon our hearts. And I just want to ask you some questions here. I did this Wednesday night, I think, a little bit. But do you know that if you have come to the cross, do you know this in your heart, that you are a righteous individual because of what God has done for you at the cross? And you feel that way. See, if you don't feel that way, it's because you're not realizing it in your heart and your mind. But when you feel righteous and you begin to experience that in your life, you are accurately reading what God has written on your heart. Because the Bible says, he was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made, can you finish this? The righteousness of God. We would become the righteousness of God in him. So I'm righteous. I want to tell you, it's a good feeling to be righteous. It causes you to face death in a peaceful attitude when you know I'm righteous, not because I've done righteousness, but because I have achieved the righteousness of God through Christ by faith in him. I've become a righteous man. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he made me righteous. And when we know we're righteous, we can act righteous. When we know from our heart that we're righteous, we'll do the right thing. I had a dream the other night. I was telling Carol about it. I said, I really don't know what this means, but I was all by myself, and I saw a tool. In this dream, it was a saw, to saw plastic or something. And I said, I need this saw, or my kids will need this saw. And I picked up the saw in my dream. And God said, that would be stealing. And so I laid the saw down in my dream. And so, because I'm a righteous person, and that doesn't fit. That doesn't make me congruent when I do something that's not righteous. Do you see this? So even though you are righteous, you can do unrighteous acts from time to time. How many of you righteous saints out there have done some unrighteous things? Could I see your hands? Everybody's hand ought to be going up there, I can tell you. And don't you feel good about it when you do it? Oh, no, you don't. You don't feel this way, do you? Well, God paid for this unrighteous act I've just done. I think I'll do a few more before the day's up because, no, you don't think that way. You think, God, please forgive me. I confess this to you. I don't want to do this. I'm not this way. Have you ever seen somebody who was a mature, intelligent person act like a baby? Don't raise your hand on this. And you said, maybe you even said to them, quit acting like a baby. Don't be a baby. You're not a baby, so don't be one. But you can act like a baby. I've seen, I'm not going to do that. We can act like what we're not, and we are righteous. So we ought to just act like it. And when we know we're righteous in the heart, then we can think righteous thoughts like I did in my dream. I was so grateful I didn't take that saw home in my dream, because that would have been not congruent with who I am. You see what I'm saying? And so God writes these laws in our hearts, and then our minds have to be renewed to them. And that's what we're studying, how to have a renewed mind. And I told you in one of the sermons that you've got to present your body to God. That's part of the steps of doing that. Why do you present your body to God? Because God needs what? A body. If he shows righteous things on this earth so people say, that's what I want to be like right there. Like that person right there. That's what I want to be like. John Roy Sword was a Methodist pastor here in town for many years. How many of you knew him? John Roy, he died. John Roy Sword grew up in Truman, where we grew up. His dad was a constable and owned a pool hall. John Roy was one of the meanest boys in town. He was one of the biggest boys in town. He knocked one of my friends senseless once at the pool hall. And he said, James, I want you and get your three brothers together, and we're going to beat up John Roy. I said, listen, let me tell you something. All my brothers and your friends could not beat up John Roy, and I ain't going to even try it, you know. And so John Roy was the strongest person in Truman High School, wasn't he, Lynn? He could lift more weight than anybody else. And you know what John Roy told me after he became a preacher? There was another boy in Truman named Billy Barham. Did anybody know Little Billy, we called him? He was smaller than other guys, a great little baseball player, and he was a Pentecost preacher in high school. And he was great on the ball team, but everybody made fun of him elsewhere about his preaching, especially being a Pentecost preacher for some reason. I guess all of us boys that were so mean were Baptists. I don't know. And so anyway, when John Roy called me up, said, I want to meet with you. He called me Rudy. He said, I want to meet with you, Rudy. We got to do some talking. And so we got together. He said, tell me how you got called in the ministry. I want to know about that. And here's what happened to me. And we were talking, and he said, you know who I wanted to be when I was growing up in school? And I thought, yeah, probably one of these wrestlers or something, you know. That he said, no, I wanted to be like Billy Barham. He said, all those years when I was beating guys up and I was doing all the things I was doing, who I really wanted to be like was Little Billy. I remember then that I wasn't able to stand up like a Christian, but in my heart I wanted to be, but I didn't. And so I went through being a party guy. I went through being a guy that didn't live a Christian life. But boy, if I can go back, I would be who I wanted to be in my heart, that God was already writing on my little 12-year-old heart when I came down in a little Baptist church and gave my life to Christ, what I should be. But my mind wanted to be like the other guys, and I rejected who I really was. And I want to tell you, it's no good end for a Christian boy living like an unchristian boy, or for a Christian woman to live like an unchristian woman, or for a Christian man to live like an unchristian man. You've got to live from a heart that's been cleansed by God, made a new heart, and then you confess your sin so God can continue to write on you. Now, real quickly, I'm going to finish, but this is important. So how do you cooperate with God? And we're kind of down toward the end of my sermon here. And here's what's the first thing that I've written. We are to respond to God from our heart when we hear the knock at the door of our heart, and like some of you are feeling right now. Some of you are hearing something inside of you that makes you want to open your heart to God, but you might not, because you're the only one that could really open your heart up to God. The Apostle Paul said to this church at Corinth, he said, my heart is wide open. I'm trying to share with you what I know is the truth of God. He said, but you're constrained in your own heart, in your own affections. So he said, I say to you, open wide your heart also. And so if we let God write on the door on our hearts, we've got to open our heart up to him. The Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, then I'll come in and I will sup with him and he with me, the King James says. What it means is I'll sit in there and I'll talk with him. I'll eat with him. I'll fellowship with him. I will have an experience with this person who will open up and let me come in. So when you're feeling in your heart that God's knocking at the door of your heart, you need to open that up. I tell you, I felt that way a lot of times. I felt that way the other day. I just said, God, I need you to speak to my heart. And I opened up to a passage and it just floored me. It was just like God was said, okay, I want to talk with you, James. And he had this verse that so spoke to my heart. And I had some communion with God. So the first thing that you've got to do is you've got to, now your sin life will be calling you, don't do this. Satan will be saying, don't do this, because then you'll have to change. Listen, I say to you, do this and you'll want to change. You'll want a new desire to come across your heart to make you what God wanted you to always be. So open the door of your heart to God and let him come in. Now, when he comes in, I talked to a guy once when I was at Mark Tree First Baptist, and I used to ask people very pointed questions. I think I would be too embarrassed to do it now. But I would ask very pointed questions that would occur to me, that, and so often I was right on the point, right on the mark. And this guy said, he said, I want you to come and talk with my wife too. And he said, we'll cook supper for you. I said, well, don't you think you ought to talk to your wife about it? And he said, yeah. And so anyway, they made supper for me. And so I went over and he said, I said to my wife, now, don't be embarrassed because he will ask you anything. And she was scared to death when I got there. But I had the good sense not to ask her questions like I would ask him. But when Christ comes in, he's going to ask you some questions. And he is not going to fool around with you. He's not going to act like he doesn't know. Because the only thing you don't know is that he knows. And so he's going to bring those things up into your heart, and you're going to have to deal with them. Do you know why some people are so miserable? It's because they simply won't deal with their sin and the thoughts that they need to deal with in their life. But God's going to commune with you and talk with you. And he's a gentle counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. When he leaves, you're going to feel really good. Now, so you let him in and let him talk. Then this verse, O Corinthians, we've spoken openly to you, our hearts open. You're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own desires, your own affections. He says, now return, open, speak as to children, you be open also. And in other words, open your heart up to God. Now, here's the third thing. Your hearts need to be given without reservation to God. Completely, willingly, devotedly. When God comes, he doesn't ask for much. He asks for everything. Everything. He asks you to give yourself to him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said about the church at Macedonia that in their poverty were able to give a huge offering to the poor saints that were at Jerusalem. He says concerning them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this they did, not as we hope, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I tell you, the best thing you can do today is to give yourself away. Not to a church, not to a denomination, not certainly not to a pastor. And never give yourself to a local church, but give yourself to God. And then you'll want to serve in a church. Then you'll want to do what God wants you to do. But give yourself to God, and he will be able to write on your heart everything that you need to know about all of your life. And he will be able, as time goes by, to let you know it perfectly in your mind so that you could act the way that he wants you to act in life. I want you to bow your head for just a moment. And this is a time of, after hearing God's word and the Spirit of God speak to your heart, it's time. You don't have to come down front, so don't get excited. You don't have to shake my hand or fill out any cards or do anything. But you do need to let God work in your heart this very moment. Lord, I'm praying and asking that, I know we've spent a lot of time this morning, God, but I know this is so important to you, and I tried to do exactly what you've told me to say and do as well as I know how. So, Lord, help the hearers of this message. Help my heart to hear from you. Now, first of all, what I'd like is you don't have to go on in life with guilt about things you've done. You don't have to let them bother you for one more day. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us here have missed the mark. All of us have needed the forgiveness of God. Today, God is saying to maybe some of you, would you come to God for the forgiveness of all of your sins? The Bible says He'll blot them out and scatter them as far as the east is from the west. And here's the good news. He says, I'll remember them no more. If you ever think about them, it'll be because you did, not me. God wants to. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So for all of you who just want to bring all that before God and say, God, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Would you just pray this prayer? Dear Lord, I've heard your voice today in my heart. And I know that I've done many wrongs. Today I'm asking you to forgive me. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm not going to ask you to do any more than this. If that's your desire today and you're praying that prayer in your heart, just lift your hand up in the air for just a moment and then put it down. Just lift it up now if you're praying that prayer to say, God, I'm asking, amen, God bless you. Is anybody else praying that prayer? Just lift your hand up just for a moment. Now, if you know that you're saved, you know that you're a Christian, but you want God to really, you just want to open your heart up to God and say, Lord, I've already confessed sins. Even while this message has been going on, I've had things in my mind and I've already said, Lord, please forgive me. I confess that to you. I want you to begin to write anew and fresh in my heart by the Holy Spirit of God, not with ink, not with a finger in stone, but with the Spirit of God in my heart. I want you to write my heart again. Would you lift your hand while I pray this prayer for all of us who want to do that? All over the building, people are responding. God, Lord, we're lifting up our hearts, and my hand is going up higher and first to say, Lord, I do. I feel undone almost many times. I feel that you have so much more, God, that you want to do. And I ask your forgiveness, Lord, for not letting you, not opening my heart to my faults and things that I might allow in my life, and just say, God, I want you to write your laws and what you want me to do for the rest of my life. Thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. And then we want to close our service today with just a prayer of gratitude and thankfulness for what God has done, because that's what causes the love of God to start flowing in a person's life, is they really become grateful and thankful to God for all that God has done in your life. And so we want this to be a great prayer of just thanksgiving to God. I wonder, would you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you have a real prayer like this in your heart, would you lift your hand up and let me bring the microphone to you? Does anybody have a desire like that to pray for all of us, thanking God for what He's done? I know everybody feels that way. That loves God. I wanted to give somebody a chance that might have that desire in their heart to raise their hand. Brother Joe, would you lead us in this prayer, thanking God for all He's done for us? And then this will be our benediction. This is the day God has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it.
Father, I personally thank you, Lord, that what you've done in my life this week, Father, you move mightily, but God, it was because I've asked you to move mightily in my heart and lead me the way you should go, Father. Father, I want every heart in this place right now, Lord, to just seek you more and more every day and seek the desires of your heart, and then you'll give us the desires of our heart. God, I'm so excited to be serving you. I want this same excitement to resonate through this whole building, Father, from the youngest one here to the oldest. Father, that we lift up the name of your Son so that you will draw all men unto you. You said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Father God, I just want your Spirit to move through the people today, Father. Strengthen us throughout this week, Lord, that we become the disciples, the men and women of God that you want us to be, Father. Go with us now, Lord. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. Amen.